Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Broadcasting worldwide from our Elliott Avenue studios, this is your flagship station for the Washington Huskies. Sports Radio 950 KJR AM and KJR FM HD2 Seattle.
An iHeart Radio station.
Washington, Washington.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Sports Headlines at 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Buddies, Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddies. Amateur draft is OVER, and the Mariners selected three high school players in a row, the top three. Then they went 17 college players in a row for their 20 overall picks. They had 10 position players drafted and 10 pitchers drafted. We'll hear from Scott Hunter, the director of scouting, at the bottom of the hour, 4:30. Matisse Thybulle, 12 points to help Team Australia upset Team USA 91-83 in a exhibition game prior to the U.S. trek to the Olympics. That was in Vegas. Terrell Pryor is calling for the NCAA to reinstate Ohio State's vacated 2010 records under the new name, image, likeness policy. Pryor and four teammates were suspended for five games after trading autographs and memorabilia for cash and tattoos. And in the NFL, Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson not expected to reach a long-term extension. He will play the 2021 season under the $17.8 million franchise tag. John Willer in just a couple of moments here on 950 KJR. His weekly conversation, a lot to get to there. We're seeing where Pac-12 versus SEC or Big Ten. Looks like it's going to be coming in Vegas on a yearly basis. We'll find out more about that and whether those games have already been kind of slotted in team schedules or whether they're coming. I want to talk about his Pac-12 basketball preview that he threw out. I love a basketball preview in July. How about that? I mean, forget this college football preview with the games coming in two months. I want the college basketball preview. He did that this week as well. But before we talk to John, give us a little Slick update, man. Give us a Slick Watts update. We knew last that he had suffered a stroke, but was improving the last time we spoke to you on the phone, a month or two ago. But how's it going right now?
I mean, unfortunately, we had a setback. He was in our home. We were improving. He had another stroke, small stroke. I, at this point, don't have a lot of details on it, just because we're dealing with some family situation, trying to work some things out where I can get the information that I would love to have. But more than anything, he has a birthday coming up, July 22nd.
Okay.
It would be awesome between now and then and just going forward as much as possible, man. Send those positive messages our way so we can get it to him, get him in front of him.
What's the best way to do that?
Hashtag love for Slick and tag us at Watts Basketball.
There you go.
Yeah, hashtag love for Slick and tag Watts B-Ball, at Watts B-Ball.
Very cool.
So we can see those messages. And, you know, I'll tell you what, when he was at my home and we had people sharing messages, and he would tune in, he would shake his head, he'd be like yes, and you could just see it really lifting his spirits up. And we're in a situation where we need a lot of prayer and a lot of love for us as a family.
Absolutely. We love that man in this town. There's no question about it. So love for Slick. Put that hashtag out there. Send it to wattsbasketball.com on any of their social media channels. Time for a little John Wilner. Let's go.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
Oh, man. It's Simply Seattle. Got some great, great plans for the Seattle Kraken. There is no question about that. I'll look on their website right now, and you'll see their draft t-shirt, which is super cool. It's got these tentacles coming out of the water with 7/21/21 on them. They're going to grab some player tees coming up as well. All great Kraken gear right now on simplyseattle.com. And they are the ones, our friend Jamie and Simply Seattle, bringing you John Wilner on a weekly basis. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How you guys?
Doing well. Doing well. Donald Watts is here, our old Pac-12 legend. So we do want to talk some basketball with you in a few minutes.
Because you didn't just call me old, did you?
Well, you're just as old as me, so if you're old, I'm old. But, John, we'll talk a little bit basketball in a few minutes with you, because I know you did a pretty extensive basketball preview over the last couple weeks. But let's start with NIL, because we were talking about that earlier in the show, and, you know, Kevon Thibodeau, you know, one of the biggest names in Pac-12 football right now. Talk to me about what he's doing with Nike, and tell me kind of the rules surrounding shoe companies, since shoe companies also sponsor the teams, that Phil Knight's kind of going a different road with Kayvon right now.
It's a little bit of a detour, right? It's not directly, he's not getting paid directly from Nike. That is a conflict that the NCAA is very fearful of, with the shoe companies getting involved in this. And so there are rules that are going to prevent that kind of thing from happening. So what he's done is he's partnering with Phil Knight, or getting advice from Phil Knight, and he's created, you know, digital art, basically, and he is selling his digital art, which you can do unlimited amount, you know, profits available to him. There's also been a report that he's signed a memorabilia deal for six figures. I haven't seen any details on that, so it's a little bit of a wait and see, but you got to figure that the top tier Pac-12 athletes and all sports, right, including gymnasts and, you know, women's basketball players, football, men's basketball, there's going to be 10, 12, 15 of them that are going to sign six-figure deals probably. And then there's going to be a group that will probably sign deals in the 10, 20, maybe $50,000 range. And then there's going to be hundreds of athletes that have deals for $500 or $1,000. But you know what? It's something, and they didn't have it before, and that's a good thing.
You mentioned on the hotline this week that the NIL serves as a reasonable economic middle ground for the athlete, hopefully bolstered by permanent NCAA rules that are fair and comprehensive, but you also said you should be deeply skeptical. So skeptical, I'm assuming, of the NCAA rules stepping in. Do you think that maybe the NCAA just continues to throw their hands up on this and doesn't step in at all?
Well, they've got these temporary rules in place, which are basically saying, you know, if there's a state rule that supersedes, but they're waiting for Congress to pass federal legislation so that it's the same NIL rules in every state. And I don't know how long they plan to wait for Congress to act on this, but sooner or later, they're going to have to establish permanent rules. And the focus, you know, they've got to be careful. It's kind of they got to thread the needle. They've got to provide pretty significant oversight on recruiting with NIL, but they don't want to create such a restrictive marketplace that they get sued, because the NCAA keeps losing in court. Mm-hmm. And the last thing they need is another loss on NIL that could, you know, open the floodgates further. So they've got to strike a balance, and I don't know that anybody should have faith that the NCAA is going to strike the proper balance.
John Wilner joining us, San Jose Mercury News, presented by SimplySeattle.com. Encouraging to see potential big games played for the Pac-12, and it looks like Vegas is going to be that venue, SEC or Big Ten opponent. When would that be starting, and are those games already scheduled as a part of the non-conference games we've already seen thrown out there, or are these going to be additional games that are going to be dumped onto those schedules that we've already seen?
Well, I think it could start at possibly next, you know, September of 2022, perhaps. More likely, maybe 23 or 24. And it'll take some work, there's no doubt, because a lot of teams are booked up, right? So I don't know that, you know, Washington necessarily would want to move a home game against Ohio State to Las Vegas, for instance. But you know, there's always workarounds if there's enough money involved. And that's the whole key to this thing, is there's got to be, you need the Raiders, because you got to have their facility.
Right.
And you need heavy hitters in the Las Vegas event organizing world to come up with the money. And if there's enough money, you know, they can make something work, whether it's moving an existing game, changing an existing game to create an opening for a team, or, you know, a team that's got an opening scheduling something. But I know it is a high priority for the Pac-12 to get a neutral site game in Vegas, Labor Day weekend. And it is a high priority for event organizers in Vegas who are trying to make that the, you know, the sports capital of the world, and especially with regard to the Pac-12, and get as many Pac-12 events there as possible.
John, Donald Watts here. And with all the changes, it seems like just a myriad of changes in college athletics coming off of the pandemic. What do you think is going to be the biggest difference, say Pac-12, but also nationwide? How are all of these things going to affect gameplay in the two primary sports? What do you anticipate the difference being in the coming years, basketball and football?
Yeah, that's a great question, Donald. That's a big question, and it's kind of an unknown, right? I don't know that all these changes are going to have an impact on, say, what we see on the football field or the basketball court this coming school year. But certainly, name, image, likeness is going to have a big impact on recruiting over the course of time. The transfer portal, right? We haven't even talked about that, and the ability for players to transfer and be eligible the next year, it's going to have a huge impact. Right, and that we're going to see that this fall for sure.
And then you have the expansion of the playoffs in football as well.
Yeah.
It's expansion of the playoff, which could come in 2023, but you know there's some talk it'll be 2026 or so. They got to get that ironed out. That's a huge deal for the Pac-12. I mean, it's kind of a gift for the new commissioner because it's essential for the conference, and he doesn't really have to lift a finger, and he's got expansion moving down the road. Tons of change, but to be honest, I think the biggest change potentially is the one that we, you know, is really in the formative stages. The NCAA's loss with that Supreme Court case a couple weeks ago, the Alston case, where they lost 9-0 and got just roasted mm-hmm. by Justice Kavanaugh, that is going to open up the potential for dramatic change down the road, because that, you know, name, image, likeness, the players can get paid for endorsement and promotion, but it has to be outside the school, right? It's like from the private business world. But the Supreme Court ruling a couple weeks ago opens the door for players to get money from the school. Now, in this case, it is for quote-unquote academic and educational endeavors. But because of the way the ruling was written, it is opening up the potential for lawsuits that would lead to pay-for-play. And that is what has the NCAA the most fearful down the road. And then, so to take one more step, I know I'm rambling, but take one more step. If you picture some kind of pay-for-play world down the road, then you have to wonder which universities are going to be willing to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Stanford, Cal, Vanderbilt, Northwestern, Duke, are they going to be willing to do that? I don't know. Washington, are they going to be willing to do it? UCLA? You know, you can kind of picture in your head which schools would be willing to do it because of what college football means for their fans, and which schools would have some serious hesitation. And then you start to wonder if there's going to be some kind of split.
I have seen some social media posts, John, when I'm posting about NIL and all these changes to college athletics, that some people think that college sports are going to lose their luster because of this. And maybe because we're going so much further away from amateur athletics and what we had in the prior, and it almost becomes kind of a semi-pro type of thing. Is that just a vocal minority, or do you think there should be some concern there?
I think that there is the fans don't care about the name, image, likeness. That's not going to impact their love for watching their alma mater play football or basketball. I really don't think that fans are going to care if Sam Heward is getting $10,000 a year from Toyota of Seattle or whatever it is.
Right.
I do think that if you go down to pay for play and Sam Heward, you know, and I'm just for your audience using him because he plays quarterback, you know, if he's getting $50,000 or $100,000 in salary from the university, that could have an impact on how much fans embrace the sport. But we're a long way from that point. I think right now where the landscape is, it's not going to have any impact. People want to go to games and they want to get back in the stadium and cheer their teams on.
You got me a little worried when you said 2023 or 2026 for the 12-team playoff. Expand on that. I don't want to see 2026, John.
I know. Nobody does. Nobody does, Dick. But the problem is that the way the playoff works, it's a three-year rotation, right? So year one of the rotation, the Rose and the Sugar have the semifinals. Year two, it's what, the Orange and Cotton. And year three, it's the Peach and Fiesta. So the theory is if they're going to stop the playoff, if they're going to expand the playoff, they're not going to do it in the middle of a three-year rotation. So this current rotation ends after the 23 season.
Okay.
So they could make the break and expand then. And if they don't, then they go through the next cycle of 3 years and go to 12 teams in 2026. We'll see. I mean, everything can get solved with money, and it kind of depends on whether ESPN just is willing to pay whatever it takes. The other issue is the contracts with the bowl games. Like, what's going to happen to the Rose Bowl in a 12-team playoff? It's not going to get guaranteed a Big Ten, Pac-12 matchup.
That's right.
A lot of things they got to work out that can mostly be solved with money.
Let's talk a little hoops here with Donald in for the last 3-4 minutes here, John. You did a little bit of a Pac-12 basketball preview. Now that we know who's going into the NBA draft, who's not going to the NBA draft, make sense of these rosters for us. Who are the winners and the losers of the draft and transfer market this offseason?
It's hard. I mean, the transfer market is so dizzying that it's a little difficult to get a handle on it. But, I do think that some Pac-12 teams came out ahead overall. The conference in general, I think, probably did about as well as it could have hoped, especially with Johnny Juzang coming back. Solidifies UCLA as a preseason number one candidate, and that's good for the Pac-12 to have UCLA at the top of the polls. I think a fair amount of teams came out winners. I think Washington, on balance, came out as a winner, right? I would rather have Mike Hopkins' roster for this coming season than Mike Hopkins' roster from last season. I think these the guards he's bringing in have got Pac-12 starting experience and give them a chance to improve. I'd rather have those guys than who he had, and the fact that they're Seattle kids coming home for one last go-round to try to make their career successful, I think that bodes well for the Huskies.
You know, I hate to do it, but I got to ask. I don't hate the Cougar basketball team as much as I hate the Cougar football team, so I feel okay talking about this. I mean, what Kyle Smith has done is remarkable. I mean, in 2 years, he's secured 7 of the top 17 recruits in Washington State basketball history. I mean, just chew on that for a second. This Muhammad, I think he pronounced his name, it sounds like kind of the second coming of Bull Bull, at least defensively. So is this a tourney team in Pullman this year?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Could be. And he's done it during a pandemic, which is,
right,
even more remarkable. I think I would classify the Cougars as a fringe tourney team at this point, right? They're going to have to make a major step if they're going to be a tournament team. I think they will take a significant step and be very competitive in the Pac-12, maybe 6-7. If everything breaks well, maybe they, could challenge for fourth or fifth. But we, as long as Kyle Smith is there, I think we have seen the last of Washington State, picking up the 3-17 or whatever it is, 12th place. That's not going to happen anymore. He's too good of an evaluator and too good of a tactician.
Well, and you're exactly right on the dogs too. There's no way they're going to finish in the basement like they did last year. There's just too much talent on this new team. But how well do you think they can put it together, and kind of where do you have them at least penciled in right now?
I think the dogs are going to be improved, but I don't know how much we'll see it necessarily in the record, right? I think for two reasons. One, the league, I think, on the whole, is probably stronger this coming season. And second, you know, what I don't think that we're going to see is we're not going to see those 30-point losses, those 20-point losses where right. they just don't look competitive. I think what we're going to see, you know, whether they finish 8th, 10th, whatever, they're going to be in games. And they're going to be, you know, it's going to not be a tough watch to see them right now.
Yes.
It could come down to, you know, 5 games decided by 3 points or something, and we'll see which way the ball goes. But I think they're going to be vastly more competitive. Is it going to be competitive enough to save Mike Hopkins' job? That I don't know.
Great stuff, John. I think tough watch, that is the best two words to describe watching Husky basketball the last 2 years. It has been a tough watch. You are not a tough listen, though. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks a ton, guys.
Thanks.
You bet. That's John Wilner, presented by our friends at SimplySeattle.com. Head to the website right now. So much great Kraken gear, Mariner gear, and more at SimplySeattle.com. Speaking of the Mariners, we're going to hear from Scott Hunter. He has had a busy, busy last 3 days. He drafted one guy on the first day, I think 9 on day 2, and 10 more on day 3. We'll hear from the director of scouting next on 950
KG. App, iHeartRadio.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Well, we spent much of yesterday with Joe Fan talking about our local baseball team, Los Marineros, who have given us something, Donald, to talk about here in July, which is something fairly unusual. I was
I know you well, and going into every baseball season, oh man, like it's just funny just hearing it come out of your mouth, knowing
how long is it gonna matter, right? Like, how long can we just squeeze this rock? And usually it's like anywhere from 8 to 10 weeks, and that's it, that's all. But hey, we got some extended baseball talk this summer, because this team's been kind of fun to watch. It has been really fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of new names, a lot of new faces, a different energy.
Yeah.
Definitely is, it has to be part of getting back to the park and getting the fans out. You know, it's refreshing,
That's a good word for it.
Yeah, it's refreshing at the end of the day.
Well, so we've got a bunch of new players in this franchise, 20 to be exact. We learned a lot about Harry Ford, their first-round draft pick on yesterday's show. We heard Scott talk about him, but the 10 new players drafted today in rounds, I guess, would it be 11 through 20, the 10 new players drafted today by Director of Scouting Scott Hunter. And Corey Brock, our friend from The Athletic, asked the first question on today's Zoom call just about the number of position players and the quality of position players he was able to grab today.
Can you talk about the number of position players you guys took, and really a good opportunity to kind of get an influx of position players and bats into the system this year?
Yeah, we were really aggressive. We wanted to go in this year. Just watching from the sidelines before we started the travel season, we saw this draft was going to be a little higher on high school hitters. And as you've seen what we've done over the last 4 years here, we've really done a good job in building our organization up to be not only stable, but I would say somewhat thriving, if you believe the third-party industry, you know, writings that were, you know, one of the higher-ranked organizations in baseball. And we were very consistent, very disciplined over the last 4 years. We set out with a plan to really build the system up, get to a point where we could really be aggressive and start taking some chances and look to build the second wave of young talent. Like right now, from our high A up through double A, we have some guys that are really coming. It was a great day to see Cal Raleigh, who we drafted 2 years ago, already up here in the big leagues, the Logan Gilberts, Evan Whites. We do think George Kirby, Emerson Hancock, all these older, not only say older college guys, but our college players are moving through our system fast. So I do think we had an opportunity to take some chance at upside, get some young, exciting, explosive players like Harry Ford and Edwin Arroyo and even Michael Morales, where we can take some time, let them grow into who they're going to be, start them out at the lower levels and see how far they run and how fast they run without any expectation of moving them too quick.
A lot of pitching here on day 3. You know, can you walk us through who some of the standouts are that you guys are really happy that you nabbed?
Really excited about our 11th round pick, Fleming from Wake Forest. I mean, he was a guy that our guys loved in the field. He was 94, 98 at the end of his season there. More bullpen guy, but we do see a lot of upside, maybe even stretch him out a little bit once we get him on campus down there in Arizona, build him up for, you know, hopefully Modesto to start. We'll see how that works out, but he's a guy that our analysts really liked, our guys in the field liked, and when things like that connect, it's an easy decision for me.
With only 20 picks, you think you're going to sign all 20 guys?
Yeah, I think there's maybe two that we're up in the air on. We did put in a few guys at the end there that we think that have really big upside. They're committed to big schools. Their asking price is a little more than what we have at that point in the draft. And I think it was the 20th round we took Troy Taylor. Big kid, big arm from junior college in California that is committed to UC Irvine, I believe. And we're hoping to maybe we could get something done, but I think that's probably the only name that I have right now that we're going to have to take a little time with. I do believe everybody else from the phone call seems excited about getting their professional career started.
Hey, Scott, there are some reports you guys are already in agreement with Harry. Do you think you'll have something on that in the next couple of days?
Yeah, well, I will definitely have that sooner rather than later. I did talk to his advisors yesterday. We're already starting to discuss travel plans for him. So as long as all the stuff, the particulars and the small fine print and the contracts go smooth, I do believe we are looking at a target date, the 1st and 22nd. And this is just a target for right now. We discussed this morning, get all three high school players up to Seattle for a physical with our team doctors up here, and then probably bring them around the ball. I think the team's back on the 22nd against Oakland, and hopefully, depending on COVID rules around the big league team, who's vaccinated, who's not, to see if we can get them up here to Seattle, get their physicals, and maybe be at the ballpark on the 22nd as a group. Because, you know, this is our first real role. Getting these three together to just represent that next wave of talent, I think, is important, not only for them, but us as an organization as a whole.
That's quick. That's nice. Get those guys signed, physicals up here. Maybe take some BP at T-Mobile Park.
How exciting is that?
Oh, man, for an 18-year-old.
I'm like, holy cow.
That would be pretty cool.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we talked a lot about the first-round draft pick yesterday, but the second-round draft pick is intriguing. Edwin Arroyo, switch hitter, shortstop, better from the right side, switch thrower, throws with both right and left hand, and can pitch. And he's a left-handed pitcher. So just envision that like 5 years from now, right? Edwin Arroyo is your starting shortstop. And then in the eighth inning, he comes out to get out a couple of left-handed bats. And then he goes back to shortstop. Like, how sweet would that be?
Oh, man. That's he sounds like one hell of an athlete.
Yes, he does. So that'll be interesting. He was the one playing, I believe, in Puerto Rico. Arecibo, Puerto Rico in the second-round draft pick for the Mariners. But yeah, I'd love to get your take. We talked about it a bunch yesterday, and there's a lot of consternation out there on what the Mariners are going to do over the next 3 weeks, Don. We've got 18 days until July 31st. The Mariners have, what do they got? Probably 14 games, something like that, before we've got a drop dead date on, well, at least the first drop dead date. It's not as, you know, you get guys through waivers and can trade them through August 31st as well. But as far as the Mariners making a move, right now they're 3.5 games behind the wild card spot in the Oakland A's. You've got the Red Sox and the Rays, clearly the class of the East. Those two are playoff teams. You can lock it in. The White Sox are clearly the class of the Central. You can lock them in. And the Houston Astros appear to be the class. You would think in the end of the day, the Astros will be able to outlast the A's. But, you know, there's five teams already that have 52 or more wins. Well, there's your playoffs right there. So do you really think that the Mariners could potentially do anything between now and the trade deadline to get themselves in the rarefied air of those five teams who are all, you would think, at minimum going to win 90 baseball games this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling that in this developmental process, that they kind of ride this out. They give these guys this experience and then try to make a splash during the offseason. There's promise. How much of bringing somebody in and changing the expectation disrupts the development that's going on? And it's like, are you in that place to really worry? You know, are you trying to get to the playoffs? Are you trying to get there and make a run?
Mm-hmm.
And can you make a move that puts you in that position? And if you make a move to simply get there, how much does that delay what you ultimately want
right.
to get done?
Right.
And I think that's they're kind of right on, like, that's the decision that has to be made. And from their belief in their system, their belief in their process, I would just think that they would kind of stay, you know, stay the course at this point.
And you have to make a decision based upon a franchise that has made three or four playoff berths in the last 10 years. You can't make a decision based upon a franchise that made zero playoff appearances in 20 years. You just can't do that.
Right.
Because then panic sets in, then reaching sets in. You just got to say, hey, what would the Atlanta Braves do?
Right.
You know, what would a team that is used to going to the playoffs, you know, every couple, 3 years, what would the St. Louis Cardinals do in this sort of situation? And I don't think the St. Louis Cardinals would go and sacrifice two of their top 10 prospects to bring in a pitcher and a hitter to one-year contracts that would help them win maybe four or five more games this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And
their belief in their process, their belief in their, you know, their development, their belief in their analytics, you just get the feeling that they're going to, you know, they like where they're at in the trajectory of things, and I don't think they're going to reach too far or too hard, you know? Yeah.
49451 testimonials are coming up next. You got a question for Don Watts? Maybe you got a budding young boy or girl basketball player that you need some advice. Maybe 49451. Donald Watts is here for you. We had some questions earlier on in the day that I threw out there about the USA basketball team. Is this an embarrassment, or because it's an exhibition? Hey, let's wait to bury these guys until they actually start losing games in the Olympics. And also, the other question we had was, Olympics in the Pacific Northwest, it was a big topic 20 or so years ago, 25 years ago, certainly after the Goodwill Games. It was a very big topic because I think the Goodwill Games were largely a success, and people were like, okay, is that kind of the precursor of maybe getting Olympics here in down the road? And here we are 30 years later, and we've never had an Olympics after the Goodwill Games, so obviously it didn't do much for that. But let's get your take on that. 49451. Testimonials next on 950.
Jose Belgrande.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
No Dave Softy Mahler until next Tuesday. He is chilling in Maui, playing a lot of golf. Trolled him a little bit today on Twitter when he asked what his score was going to be on the monster of the course that Wailea Emerald was. So I couldn't say 41 because he would have a 41 after about five holes. So I said 141.
Well, yeah, what's the par right there?
72.
Let's double it.
It's a par 70. Yeah, let's double it. 144. He claims he shot a 92. I would just say, which tee box did you play from? Which tee box? Because, yeah, I mean, he's much better. When he talks about his handicap coming down, there's no question in the world that Softy is a much better golfer now than he was a couple of years ago. 92 at Emerald for him? Yeah, it must have been from the whites. I don't think there's any question about that. Maybe the reds. Maybe even the purples. All right, where do we go? 49451.
The U.S. basketball team didn't have half of their starters with them, so there's that.
That's true. I mean, Book wasn't there. So, but you're shaking your head, Don. Don's not having any of them.
The roster versus the rosters that they played against. Who should win?
We should win.
Yeah.
By like, 25, 30.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need the first team all NBA team to beat Nigeria.
Or Australia.
Or Australia. You shouldn't.
Right.
You shouldn't.
No, that's right. That's right. We'll see how much better they get and if they get any continuity at all down the road. What else we got?
Embarrassment. Bring back the dream team.
Yeah, it would be nice. I asked you earlier whether you should be required, and you're right. I don't know how you could actually legitimately require somebody to do that, but I think that every player should be criticized. in the court of they should be convicted in the court of public opinion if they get through the decade of their 20s and they have never played in the Olympics. That's just kind of my own. And I'd have to go back and look to see who actually that would account for. But people criticize LeBron for not playing. My God, LeBron's played in three. Like, how many? What do you want him to do? He needs a rest.
I'm so old. I remember a time when we were debating if pros, if they should be allowed to play.
Right. And it took that loss in 88 to get that done.
Yeah. When college kids went over there and handled the business. Right. And now it's like, should they be required to play instead of allowed?
Yes. And it we. Yeah, it's a little bit different, and you know, I know we've had more than one dream team.
I'd say the world's caught up with us a little bit, huh?
Yes, it has, and we've really only had, in my mind, we've really only had one dream team, and there will only be one dream team probably in American basketball history, and that team I still think could beat any U.S. Olympic team in any era thus far. I mean, that team was absolutely unbelievable, and I know that many of you out there. Just not old enough to remember that team, but that was absolutely unbelievable to watch Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and David Robinson, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, and John Stockton. I mean, just all those guys on the floor.
Scottie Pippen. Ugh.
Unbelievable. What's next?
Australia is going to be a hard team to beat. Either way, they have almost a full team of NBA players themselves.
Yeah, they got at least a starting five of NBA players. I still don't know.
No All-Stars.
No All-Stars. And no really even club. I mean... No, really, even close to all stars. You got an all defensive player, Matisse, but you don't have
no all stars.
That's right.
So the excuse making has to stop. I mean, like,
do people not say it's an embarrassment? Are you just not able?
Like, you have a team of NBA players.
I think there are people waiting to see if it's just, was it just a motivation thing because it's just the exhibition? And that's got potential, although that hasn't stopped Team USA from winning 54 out of the last 56 exhibition games played prior to Olympics over the last 20 years. What's next?
Are you advocating for the old school, all freshmen must redshirt rule? I'd be okay with it personally. Everyone would get a better ROI than the current model creates.
Oh, like the old... Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Can't play his freshman year.
You know, I was actually talking to Romar about this weekend, and we were talking about the transfer rule. And he was like, you know, there was a time where players couldn't play as freshmen. Mm-hmm. And then the next generation of players, like, what do you mean players couldn't play as freshmen? Right? Like right. And he's like, at some point, we're gonna say, what do you mean players had to sit out a year when they transferred? You know, it's like, what do you mean players couldn't get paid off of their own name and likeness? They're like, we're going through that right now, but you know, like a generation from now, they're going to be like, what? What kind of sense does that make?
There are certain changes in sports that improve the game, and I think some of these changes will improve the game, even though I'm old school, admittedly old school, and I'm a tough nut to crack. I can see that some of these changes will help improve the game. And then you've got baseball where the shift and all this sort of launch angles and stuff like that. And there is nothing that is doing to improve the game. We got time for one more.
One sport you mentioned is not affected at all by no fans. Swimmers can see or hear anything, is ear anything. Once you're in the water, all there is water.
Not true. Not true as a competitive swimmer. Not true at all. They can hear plenty in the water. And you know, that is, there has been many, many times that I've been in meets where the crowd told me that I was either the one either the shark in the water catching the minnow, or I was the minnow in the water catching the shark. You know, we'd have, you know, these swim meets that I'm about to go to right now. I mean, they have 200, 250 people there, right?
Yep.
And so the last event of the meet, love these swim meets. Outdoor swim meets, you got 6-year-olds all the way up to 18-year-olds competing on the same team for the same points. So it's awesome, right? You're not an individual, you know, you're swimming in your age groups. But 18 and under free relay, that's the last event of the meet, right? Everybody sticks around and watches the 18 and under boys free relay, right? And there has been times where I'm in the water, got 15 yards left, and the crowd's getting louder and louder and louder, and I'm like, Oh, I can get this guy.
Right.
Let's go. You know, absolutely you can hear the crowd. There's no question about it at all. 455 on Sports Radio 950 KJR. Let's talk a little NBA Finals. We have Don Watts in the building for 2 hours. We haven't talked about the NBA Finals. We'll do that after the top of the hour headlines right here on KJR.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.